from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 to 20. Hear these words of the Apostle Paul, written to the church in Ephesus. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated by it becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, I sense throughout this morning that your Spirit is at work in this place. I sensed it from the time I greeted the first person who walked into this room. I sensed it as we sang the first notes of the first song. I sensed it as the men's ensemble reminded us of the glory of Christ's birth. I sensed it as we sang in preparation for our prayer time, and surely I sensed it when we pray. Now come again, Holy Spirit. Not only touch our hearts, but awaken our spirits to worship and serve you with all faithfulness and goodness. These things we pray in Jesus' name. The other night, I was with some folks from the church, and I was passing around a little box of mints. And I said to Pat Adams, I said, "Pat, I always put a mint in my mouth before I preach. That way I know when to quit." And I said, "There was this one time," and I reached in my pocket and put it in my mouth, but it was a button. It took me 4 hours to realize that it wasn't a mint. Don't worry, it's not a button. I do want to wish you a happy Epiphany. Today is the 12th day of Christmas. You know the song. Christmas isn't over until Epiphany comes, the season. Last until today, Epiphany Sunday. The word epiphany means revelation or manifestation, and it in the Christian calendar, as Blaine reminded us earlier, it's a celebration of when the wise men, the Magi, came and worshiped Jesus. They followed the star that illuminated the darkness and pointed them to the Savior. We use the word epiphany in our common language every day to say that it's a moment when we have a revelation. I had an epiphany. I like to think of it as an aha moment. We have those in our faith journey, you know, aha moments. We don't have them perhaps as often as we wish we would or as often as we need to have, but because of God's grace and mercy and because of the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, there comes those moments when we have aha moments in our faith journey, right? I can look back to my life and point to several at different stages of my development as a Christian. aha moments. I never knew that. That's what that means. Today we begin a series that will take us through the month of January into early February, up to the season of Lent, actually. A sermon series simply entitled Awaken. As I was praying through what we would be doing in January and February several months ago, God placed on my heart an opportunity for us to explore what it means to experience spiritual renewal, spiritual revival, not only in our individual faith journey, but in the church in general. And I think it's sorely, sorely needed in this world. Would you agree? Today's sermon is simply titled, Get Up. I'm not a big fan of alarm clocks. Anyone with me? My wife, she's not in this room, so this will just between you and me. My wife has a habit of setting multiple alarms on her cell phone every morning, multiple alarms, sometimes five or six different alarms. It's her process for waking up, and some of you are just the same way. We'll pray for you. Now, the way this process works is if my wife needs to get up by 6, she'll often set the first alarm for 4:30, which kind of plays out like this. The alarm goes off, I hear it, and wake her up. And that process repeats itself every 15 to 20 minutes for the next hour and a half. At some point, I say to her, I think it's time to get up. Now, if you're like me, you like to hit the snooze button as well as anybody else. And you can sleep through an alarm, and you can snooze through the morning hours until it's the last minute to get up. Today, I just want to ask the question, for us as a church, and for us individually, and maybe even for us as a society, is it time for you to get up? Is it time for you to get up? The focal point of our scripture this morning comes from Ephesians 5:14. And Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, says these words, which are actually taken, we believe, from an ancient hymn of the church, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I want to warn you of something, because our tendency is to say, that's exactly right. Those people need to wake up. Those people who didn't make it to church today, those people who never come to church, those people in Washington, those people in Hollywood, those people need to wake up. But may I remind you of something that was an epiphany moment for me? Paul wasn't writing this to unbelievers. He was writing it to the believers in the church in Ephesus. The purpose of him using this phrase, as the Holy Spirit would inspire him to include it in the letter, is to be a wake-up call for the church, a wake-up call for believers to not become sleepy in their faith, to not hit the snooze button when the Spirit calls them, when the Spirit moves them, when God's Word invites them to step out in faith and do what they've been called to do. So let me just ask you this question. What prevents us from getting up? What prevents us from doing those things that God has laid on our hearts to do, those things that we know that we should be doing, those things that we often excuse ourselves from doing? If I may be so bold as to be simplistic here, I would say in a word, complacency. Complacency often prevents us from awakening to the things of the Spirit. Complacency often prevents us from waking up to the life of grace that God calls us to. Now, I wanted to be sure that I understood the word complacency, so I looked it up. And the definition of complacency, said this, self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. Let me say it again. Self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. Another word that was used in another definition was the word smugness. Ironically, when I read that, I dismissed it immediately. Which kind of is the very definition of smugness, isn't it? I don't need that. I've got everything under control. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe what prevents us from awakening to what God would have us do, or maybe more importantly, to say it this way, to awaken to what God wants to do in us, is this sense of self-satisfaction that we have everything right where we want it. I've been in church all my life. Why would I join a Bible study? I've already served. Why would I want to do it now? A.W. Tozer, that great author and pastor, said that complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. If I could illustrate this truth, I would say it this way. A story that I read said several years ago, a young man captured the attention of the world by walking a tightrope between the towers of the New York World Trade Center. Obviously, it was a while back. A few months later, however, while practicing on a relatively low wire in St. Petersburg, Florida, he fell 30 feet and was badly injured. As he lay waiting for help, he reportedly beat his fist on the ground, saying this, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I never fall." Complacency at its best. I never fall. That would never happen to me. I would never do that. I believe that God is at work in our midst, awakening us to what he has for us in the future. Several years ago, I had an idea for an alarm clock that I wanted to invent. Because I don't like to be awakened. I don't like to be startled. I don't like to be shocked awake. And so I shared this idea with some friends. I said, you know, what would it be like to have an alarm clock that you could personalize or have personalized with your name, with the voice that you would want to have wake you up every day? And so, honestly, I chose the voice of, you remember the TV show Touched by an Angel? The angel was named Monica, played by Roma Downey. That Irish brogue, "God loves you." I said, I would love to have that voice wake me up in the morning. Say I needed to wake up at 6, so about 5:30, that voice would say, "David, it's time to get up." As I would sleep through those wake-up calls, the voice would get a little louder each time, maybe a little forceful. And let's say I slept through the time I really needed to wake up, and by 6:15, as I was running late, she's screaming at me, "It's time to get up." I haven't gotten a patent on that yet. So how does God awaken us? Sometimes gently, oftentimes not so gently. I want to suggest to you five things that often God will use to awaken us, that God will use to quicken our spirits, if you will, to make us aware, more aware of the activity of the Spirit in our lives. The first is this: God awakens us through the Word. through the Word. In Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Sometimes just hearing the Word of God can awaken something in us. You may be familiar with the story of John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, that Anglican priest in England so long ago, who really, as he would often say, never really knew the Lord, even though he was a minister of the gospel. One day, on May 24th, we know it as Aldersgate Sunday, he found himself in the midst of a gathering of Moravians at Aldersgate, a street in England. And as his own journal would indicate, it was during the reading of the preface of Luther's commentary on the book of Romans. Let me just say something here. There are few things drier than Luther's preface on the commentary on the book of Romans. Wheat toast comes to mind. But as Wesley heard these words expounding upon the book of Romans, he would say in his journal, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." Wesley was having an epiphany, an awakening, that God was doing something in him, maybe for the first time in his life, and it came through the Word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way, "The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." And when we expose our hearts and minds to the truth of God's Word, it does something. That's why I think Herman and I are so excited about movie night. Just listening and seeing the Gospel of Mark, and then Matthew, and then Luke, and then John played out before us. I wonder what God would do with that. A second way God awakens us is through worship. Excuse me. A friend of mine reminded me that the only thing in all of creation, the only thing in all of creation that has the capacity to withhold worship from its creator is a human being. We're the only ones. We're the only ones in all of creation, not the stars, not the plants, the trees, not the animals, just us, who have the ability to say, "I will not worship my creator. I will not bring glory to his name." But when God's people begin to worship him in spirit and in truth, God shows up. As the psalmist said in Psalm 22, verse 3, "God inhabits the praises of his people." I pray that through worship today and in days that follow, God will waken us up. A third thing that God often uses is what I call through unique experiences. You know, sometimes you just have to step out of the routine of your life. And when you do that, God will often do amazing things, like an Emmaus walk or a mission trip. Sometimes when we're willing to step out of our comfort zone and go someplace or do something that is out of the ordinary for us, we find that God is there to meet us. I can't tell you the number of times as a pastor I've preached a particular doctrine or topic from the Scripture, and no one hears it. And then they go on an Emmaus weekend or a mission trip, and they come back, and they say, "Pastor, I learned so much about grace this weekend. Why don't you ever preach about it?" I do. There was one young man who was on a confirmation retreat, and we were teaching about communion, and I was teaching about the meaning of intinction. And he said, "Pastor Dave, why don't you say that on a Sunday morning?" And his name is David, and I said, "David, I do every time. Sometimes we just don't hear it. Until we step out of our comfort zone into those thin places where the Spirit is able to penetrate our hearts. How does God awaken us? Through the Word, through worship, through unique experiences. I would add, number four, through relationships, whether that's the relationship with a parent or a grandparent or spouse, sometimes through a child or a grandchild, through a friend or through a stranger. Sometimes it's through those relationships that God will speak something into our lives through a spoken word or through an action that will awaken us, that will stir in our hearts a desire to grow. It will be an epiphany for us. But you know what I think sometimes is some of the most powerful ways that God awakens us? Is this fifth thing, through life circumstances. Those life circumstances could be a challenge, something we didn't expect, something we didn't want to have happen. But in the midst of that challenge, as difficult as it may be, we find a deeper experience with God. As C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. God also will use the life circumstances of celebrations, birth of a child or a grandchild, a wedding, an anniversary, an achievement to speak to our hearts. Sometimes God will awaken us through changes, those transitions in life, natural as they may be, a new job, a new house, a new community, a new church, dare I say, a new pastor. Blaine reminded us that Israel, as they returned from exile, was coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild the glory of Zion, to rebuild the temple, a house for the Lord. And it's the midst of that change that they were going through that God speaks to them through the prophet Isaiah in verse 1 and says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." As you may recall, Israel was always intended to be a light unto the Gentiles. And through the prophet, God was reminding them that it was time for them to wake up. It was time for them to get up. It was time for them to rebuild the glory that was Israel. I wonder today, is God saying this to us? Is He saying it to you? Whenever I check into a hotel, one of the first things they ask me at the desk is what? Would you like a wake-up call? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? To ask one another. To ask ourselves. Maybe it's a question that God is asking us. Would you like a wake-up call? As Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says to them these words in verses 17 and 18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. In our Bible study on Tuesday morning, I asked the question, what is debauchery? Someone said, it's what happens when you get drunk on wine. It's a good answer. But Paul is contrasting the life of grace as one is filled with the Holy Spirit, and contrasting that with the life of darkness when we chase after the things that the world offers us. And as you may know, this phrase, be filled with the Spirit, is written in such a way in the Greek language that it is an ongoing, continual process. Go on being filled with the Spirit. If I may paraphrase that, I would say it this way. Don't be complacent. Don't fall asleep. Wake up. Get up. and do those things. Be that person. Follow Jesus closely and see what God will do. As we've begun this new year together, I was reminded of a gift that a friend, Jamie Colner, gave to me and to Pastor Herman just before Christmas. It was a devotional book. I need to thank Jamie for that. So I started reading it just the other day, and it's just maybe a 3-minute reading each day. But with your permission, I'd like to share with you today's reading. Is that okay? The book's entitled The Book of Mysteries, and each day it takes an opportunity to expose a biblical word, and it's done in the form of a conversation between a teacher and a student. It says, "The teacher led me into the desert ravine where we sat down in the sand face to face. He picked up a stick and with the slightest of movements created the smallest mark in the sand. 'This can change your life,' he said." "An apostrophe?" I said. "A yud. Y-U-D. A yud," he said. "What's a yud?" "A yud is a letter, the smallest of Hebrew letters, barely more than a dot. So small, you could miss it. From the yud came the Roman letters I and J, and from the yud came the Greek letter iota." "As in not one iota?" I said. "Yes. Or as in not one jot. It all comes from the same tiny letter. So it's the smallest of letters. Why is it significant?" "That's the point. As the smallest of letters, it is most significant. It is the yud that begins the greatest, most sacred name of the Hebrew words, the sacred name of God, Yahweh. Yahweh begins with yud. The land of God, Israel, begins with yud. The city of God, Jerusalem, begins with the yud. And the name of Jesus in Hebrew begins as well with the yud." "What does it all mean?" I said. "The greatest of words begins with the smallest of letters, and in the same way, the greatest of God's works begins with the smallest of strokes. Life itself begins on a scale so small it can't even be seen. It's the secret of the yud." "And how does one apply it?" I asked. "We're all called to the new and to change. By nature, we avoid both newness and change. So how do you change? How do you go from a life of failure to a life of victory? It's an overwhelming prospect. So how do you do it?" "With the yud. You start by taking a yud of steps. The smallest of steps, but toward the greatest of changes. You don't start out with a great victory, but you take the yud, one small action, one little step toward that great victory. You take that one step, that yud of courage, that iota of change, that smallest stroke of new beginnings, that yud of the life you're called to live. You begin the greatest of things with the smallest of strokes. You begin by applying the secret of the yud." Do you know how we wake up every day? By opening our eyes. By moving. By making an effort to get out of bed. May I say to you today that the way that we wake up spiritually is exactly the same way. We open our eyes. We move. We make an effort. Even if it's a small thing, we will find God saying each time, get up. Follow me. Let's pray. Holy God, as we examine our own hearts and minds this morning, we see those areas through the illumination of your word and spirit where we have become complacent, happy to just settle for what we've always had, neglecting to follow you to what you would have us receive. So it is my prayer, Lord, that for me and for these people who you have given me the privilege of pastoring, that in this season together, there would be a whole host of great awakenings that take place in us, in our church, and in our community. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Aren't you glad you didn't sleep in today? The words of our benediction are printed in your bulletin. You have a part in this. Your part is the bold print. And as I did on Christmas Eve, I'll remind you this morning, there is an exclamation point. As you go forth this morning, go as people who have been fully awakened. Be fully awakened to the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be fully awakened to your place in God's kingdom. Be fully awakened to the work of the Holy Spirit within you. Now stay awake and let your life be a light in the darkness. Amen.